If you would please tonight take your Bibles and join me at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 to begin. Pursuant to a look into the book of Judges at chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning our reading at verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom, pay close attention now to the verses beginning at verse 4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Would you pray once again with me? Again, dear Heavenly Father, provide for us in your word a challenge, and provide for us, dear God, understanding. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to grasp hold of the word and help us to remember what is spoken. May the scriptures ring at length in our mind's eye and on our hearts. May it not be able to escape. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you might bring us to a place where you compel us. Compel us, Lord, to shine. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen. We are engaged in a battle. And I'd like to just balance two very important components in the battle tonight. You all have in your bulletins tonight an excellent little insert out of Judges chapter 7 at verse 20, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I want to bring balance in this battle. You see, we have, according to verses 3 and 4 in this chapter, a tremendous opponent who has a very deafening tactic. He hides the gospel. He blinds the eyes of them who are lost. It is not in his interests, nor is it his desire, that the gospel light would shine into the hearts of your neighbors. He's blinded them. So we're in a battle. What do we do? What do we do? How do we balance this battle with the evil one for the hearts and minds of your neighbors, your family members, friends who are lost? How do we bring balance? Now let me illustrate, perhaps overly simplistic. Simplistically speaking, this is, can I get your interaction here? This is what? This is the Bible. Good job. The Bible declares for itself that it is what? Give me a couple of It's truth. It's God's Word. What? A lamp. It's a lamp. The commandments. The Word. Okay? Is it... What distinguishes this book from every other book in your library? What is it about this book that is different than any other book that's ever been written? It's God-breathed, therefore it is. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, I want to use this book as an illustration. You never see a Baptist preacher take the offering plates off the table till now. You'll never see him take the posy off either. It's breaking tradition. But I leave this book right here. That book is alive. It's powerful. As it stands, I don't add anything to it. I can't improve on it. I can't make it more understandable to the lost. But as it is right here, it is all that God ever intended it to be. It will never be anything else but what it is there, the Bible. And let's just use this as an illustration. Lost people, whenever they sit in a room like this with you, are unable to do a couple of things. They're unable because they're not willing and they're not interested in rising from their seat and coming and picking this living book. And in this book, the light of the world shines. They're unable and they're unwilling to savingly believe the gospel in and of themselves. Now, that book cannot be improved on. And so when I talk about bringing balance to the battle, we cannot possibly expect that for those in your neighborhood, for those who are loved ones of yours, cannot possibly expect, well, that's for me. You didn't sample this on the way in, did you? I thank you very much. You cannot possibly expect them to show an interest in that book. You can't possibly expect them to exert any energy in lifting that book from the table and opening its pages. Now, it is true that God in His omnipotent power can, without you or me, save anybody on earth He wants to in any dispensation, without my hand, without your hand. He can do that. There's no disputing that. The hyper-Calvinist will say that God will save whoever He wishes to save without human instrumentality. At the end of the day, whoever is saved is saved. That's the way God wanted it. And I have nothing I can contribute to the effort. If man will be saved, he'll be saved. Yet the Bible will sit. What must be done then? How do we bring balance to the battle? Now, the theological truth is this, that God has indeed chosen some from eternity past, sovereignly elected some sinners out of the mass of humankind, passing by the rest. He is the potter, and the potter is at liberty as a sovereign God to do as He wishes with His creature. And He has chosen some. And all those whom He has chosen, according to Acts 13:48, will hear the gospel and will believe. Now, that's a theological truth, undeniable. That's clear and plain in Scripture. But how do we balance the theology with the Bible? Here's what has to happen. You've got to take this book. You have to take this book with the book opened and with your heart passionately pleading. You've got to take the gospel message to the people, pew by pew by pew, house by house by house. You cannot expect that they will lift a finger. They will not. They cannot. It is incumbent upon me and you to take this book and shine. Now, last week, here's another quiz question. So far, you're one for one. You guessed what this was. Now, in the same category of thinking, how many of you remember what the title of the message was last Sunday night? Don't look at your notes, cheaters. How many of you remember what it was? Okay, I'll take that. You've all aced that question. Let me ask you this. How many of you can tell me what it was about, just a little bit? Anybody have a clue? Wednesday, Shane. I need you to back up three more nights. How many of you remember? Remember the premise. Sinners are deep in. They're deep in. And there needs to be a search and a rescue operation. Deep in. It is required of us to begin that operation. Now, that's not on you. Memories being what they are these days and distractions being what they are, no problem. It's other issue there. I want you to come with me to Judges chapter 7 for just a few moments. Judges chapter 7. And the balance that we must bring to the battle, just like in the insert that is found in your bulletin taken from this chapter, is that there must be the sword, that's the book, and Gideon. God could save with the sword and no Gideon if He pleased. But the God who ordained the means to the end, which is the salvation of sinners, He has also ordained the hands that carry the message. He's ordained the end. He has ordained the means to the end. So it requires the sword, the living Word of God, the gospel message, and it requires you. Now, I do appreciate whenever I hear, you can't begin to imagine how it is an encouragement to my heart whenever I hear on occasion that some of you are passing tracts out to your neighbors and friends. That's a good thing. It's also very much an encouragement to me whenever I hear you recounting a verbal testimony that you have given to a neighbor or a friend. And that we should do. But here we are in this seventh chapter. And I'd like to have you look with me, please, at verse number 16. And understand something. A New Testament premise. God has commanded the light to shine. He's commanded the light to shine. So here we are. Judges 7, verse 16. He divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Please keep in mind that they're about ready to do battle. And here they are being armed with trumpets. Trumpets. 300 of them. Did they have more than 300 to start with? They did. There was a qualifying phase to the selection here. But they wind up with three companies of 100. Verse 17, he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now, if you thought that my reference to Jericho this morning was a strange military tactic, and it was, this is even farther out on the edge. I mean, they were not encircling children or women. No offense, women. They were encasing seasoned military warriors. And the instructions are, you do exactly like I do. Now, you see, right there, if no one was in this room but me, okay, and I'm preaching to empty pews, there is a word of exhortation and challenge to me in this reference. What is it that the leader is saying to his people? Look on me and do likewise. It's important for the one giving the instruction to set a sample or an example to everyone around him before he dare say, follow me. Now the problem that you will have, with me is that my search and rescue operations never hit the newspapers. Which is to say, they're never blazed around. They are never published in a journal. It is only important that God knows and I know. But you see, that may not be sufficient for you. May not be. So there's an exhortation for me. If I'm the only one in the audience and I'm preaching to me, it's sufficient that I take the challenge before I give the challenge. In verse 18, when I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon, verse 19, and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets. Now I want to say again in verse 19, just an observation. Just to show you that this was not going to be so much Gideon's operation. The timing is all wrong. The timing is all wrong. Where do I see that? Verse 19 says, they just set the new watch. They just set the new watch. That's poor timing. Did God's Timex stop? No, the optimum time to surprise your enemy is when the watch has been on duty all night and needs to be relieved. Not when you have fresh faces. But the timing was all wrong. The tactics are all wrong. From human perspective. Arming people with trumpets and clay pitchers and then timing it when is the least opportune moment. It says they blew the trumpets, break the pitchers that were in their hands. Then verse 20 says, and the three companies blew the trumpets. That's one task. Break the pitchers, second task. Held the lamps in their what hands? And trumpets where? Right hands? Would you say they had their hands full? The tasks, in addition to the timing, was all wrong. You got to keep it simple. But here, both hands were occupied. They were multitasking. Good way to get people confused. The most important part of this operation was when they come down to the end and everything was broken, they cried, the sword of the Lord in Gideon. Now I challenge you to do something as complex as what they were asked to do with your boat, with both of your hands, and then remember when you're done at the end to follow the absolute most important instruction. You have got to speak. You've got to speak. Surely the light must shine, but you must speak. It is not sufficient that you just put the Bible out in the hopes that somebody passing by will pick it up and read it and do one of these deals. You know, like some people have their devotions, they take a Bible, they do this. Oh, right, there's where I'm going to read today. And oh, there's the gospel. Now I suppose it's possible, but that's not God's plan. But everything that we look at here in Judges chapter 7 is all wrong. The tasking, the timing is all wrong. Now you look here at what follows. They cried the sword of the Lord and of Gideon and stood every man in his place round about the camp. Now if the story ends there and this is a concoction of man, it's Gideon's idea and not God's. What happens if after they do the shouting, instead of the enemy running, they attack? Is standing there still the place you want to be? No. They stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. The Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled. I said that to bring you to this. The note that you take is that the first thing that has to happen is that the light must shine. And this couples with something that we read back in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. At verse number 14, where it says, you are the light of the world. City that is set on a hill cannot be hid any more than Gideon's soldiers could have been hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works The light must shine first. Let your light shine, and then the sound of the trumpet. The wielding of the sword. You remember one of the commendations that the Apostle Paul gave to the Thessalonian church. He says, "From you first sounded out the word of the Lord to all the world." It sounded. It is not sufficient to have in your hand the one most important thing in all the world and just keep the book closed. The light must shine, the trumpet must sound, and it must sound with a specific truth. Paul to the Corinthians says, if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, what does it profit anybody? If the trumpeter is sounding retreat and the men who are on the battlefield mistake it for advance, all's lost. Now, one final place to look at in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. The apostle says in verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." And then verse 15, "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Then verse 16 says, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." You shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. There has to be balance in this battle for the minds and souls of people. There has to be this, the sword. But there also has to be a willing hand and a willing heart to take this book and place it before people who will not, on their own volition, take it in hand. What's the most important thing that can be displayed? Let me conclude with Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. Some people, whenever they see, this is one of the reasons why when I go visiting, and my visit involves speaking to people that I know are lost, one of the things I never do, I never take this with me. I never take it with me like this. I refuse. I don't take my mortar. I take a derringer. I always put a little portion of Scripture in my pocket, out of sight, and I have it with me. I don't take this because, you see, some people are really not, are they actually allergic to the sight of it. And as soon as people see you coming with a big old Bible in your hand, you know what happens? How many of you are students of body language? How many of you are students of body language? I can do this happen 8 out of 10 times on every occasion. If I walk up to a person who knows that I'm coming and I come with my mortar, here's what happened. You know what that tells me? They've already shut down. It's over. Might as not waste your breath. So, on the other hand, if I walk up to their door, into their living room, and they don't see any big old mortar, they don't see my derringer, I have that hidden, and we start talking, the only way that the words that will be spoken have any credibility is if they see what we see ourselves in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13. The word says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Now how would they know that? Verse 14, it says, "Beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And so, before even the Derringer comes out, and before even the scriptures are quoted, and the living word and the seed of the word is put in place, there must be some measurable credibility in my life, in your life, regarding the other person, so as that you may win a fair hearing. They've got to at least be able to recognize that you belong to Jesus. There has to be balance in this battle. There must be the shining, there must be the sounding, there must be the sword, but there must be the Gideon in this search and rescue operation that should be ongoing for the sinner. My friends, I remind you again, it's there deep in. And if you don't go look for them, nobody else will. Now, next Sunday night, if I ask you what I preached about tonight, I'll let you use a cheat sheet. No, won't put you on the spot again. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that there was a person in Your divine providence in the days gone by in each of our lives who was faithful to You and presented to us the living Word, explained to us the gospel, implored us to trust You, and You in Your marvelous grace quickened us, and You gave us the gift of faith. You forgave our sins. You made us a new creature. You placed us into the body of Christ, and now we wait for You to return. Help us, Lord, ever to be grateful, ever thankful, but help us to remember that had not that person reached out to us, we would still yet be lost in our sins. So, Lord, as grateful people, let us take in turn the Scriptures and the life that validates the Word itself to those who are on the outer reach, who are to today, even in this hour, in this moment, are sitting on the very edge of eternity. Judgment is imminent for them. Help us, Lord, to have a heart in all this for Jesus' sake. Amen.